And I kind of want to help you catch up on a little bit of the story, because I have learned that not everybody's familiar with all of these biblical stories. And this story is a story about 12 brothers. Now, if you don't hear trouble when I say 12 brothers, I'm sorry. I mean, I had one brother and one sister, and Deanna and I had three kids, two boys and a girl. Siblings can find a way to cause problems for each other, amen? And I can't imagine what it would be like to have 12 brothers. There were some sisters too, but 12 brothers ranging in all ages. And one of them was the father's favorite. One of them was the father's favorite. And this favorite one was named Joseph. And Joseph had a dream. He had a dream that was actually two parts. But his dream was they were out in the field and they were gathering up the wheat and tying it up into bundles. And all the rest of the bundles bowed down to his bundle. And then another part of his dream was that 11 stars and the sun and the moon bowed down to him. First off, if you don't understand, Joseph is dreaming about the rest of his family bowing down to him and serving him. And Joseph is one of the younger ones, not the youngest, but one of the younger ones, and his father's favorite. Don't forget that. How do you think they feel at this point in time? His father is so bold in the scripture where it talks about the dreams, going back to, this is back in Genesis 37. His father is so bold, do you really think, son, that someday all your brothers and your mother and myself are going to bow down to you? First off, I want to say that Joseph is not a man of great wisdom at this age, because I don't think it was a good idea for him to share his dream with the rest of the family. Because what happens next is his father sends him out in his favorite multicolored coat. And he sends him out in that coat and he says, "Will you go check on your brothers in the field and find out what they're doing?" And at first, Joseph can't find him, and he ends up going to Dothan, and he finds them there in Dothan by the instruction of someone else. And they are looking and going, "Hey, guys, look, here comes that dreamer kid." And they concoct an idea. "Let's throw him in this pit, and we'll just leave him there to die." That sounds like siblings to me. I don't know about you. "We'll just leave him there to die." And they do throw him in the pit. And what happens is some folks are coming by. And as the folks are coming by, they're traveling caravan and they're traders and they sell things here and there. And they get the idea, "Let's take him out of the pit and we'll sell him to them and we can make some money on getting rid of our brother." That's a good biblical story, isn't it? You got a sibling you don't like? Let's sell him off. So they sell him off into slavery. And this is the part that really shocks me. They take that favorite coat and they rip it up and they dip it in blood and they take it home to their father and say, "Do you know whose coat this is?" And they say, "Dad, we don't know what happened. Some animal must have got him and tore him up. We're sorry." Wow, I'm glad I don't have great brothers like that. And they let this go on for years. You see, Joseph was 17 at the time when this happened. And it's not until 13 years later that we kind of pick up the story. Well, it's before 13 years, but 13 years later is where we're going to come closer to our place here. You see, Joseph is taken to Egypt to be a slave. And he ends up in Potiphar's house, and he ends up there. And I'll let you go read that story. That's just as interesting. He gets accused of something that he didn't do. Imagine that in our world. He gets accused of something that he didn't do, and he gets put in prison for it. Please go read that story. It's just as interesting. If you don't know it. And while he's in prison, two men, a baker and a cupbearer for the Pharaoh, have dreams. And they have these weird dreams about three loaves of bread, and they just have these weird, and they don't know what the dreams mean. And they come to Joseph, and Joseph says, well, I'll tell you what, it means in 3 days things are going to go good for you, the cupbearer. And in 3 days, things are going to go bad for you, the baker. And in 3 days, surely that's what happens. And Joseph has told the cupbearer, when things go well for you, please remember me and speak on my behalf to the Pharaoh that I might get out of prison, because I'm not here for anything I really did. I'm here for accusations only. Happens exactly as he interprets their dreams. Exactly. And the cupbearer doesn't say anything to Pharaoh. Later, Pharaoh has these dreams. I would love to see these dreams, because these dreams are, he sees seven fat cows coming up out of the Nile. And then he sees seven skinny cows come up and eat the seven fat cows, and the seven skinny cows don't look any fatter. And Pharaoh tells all of his court, here's my dream, can anybody tell me what it means? And everybody's like, we don't have a clue. And the cupbearer says, wait, there's this man in prison who interpreted my dream and he was right, and the baker's dream and he was right. Maybe he can tell us. And Joseph says the seven cows coming up that are fat are seven great years of harvest. And the seven lean cows that come up to eat the seven who are fat are seven bad years of famine. You need to put somebody in charge that understands all this and can help you out. Guess who gets put in charge? This little slave boy, 13 years later, is put in charge. And he manages Pharaoh's assets so well that those 7 years of great are stored up, so that they got more than enough for the 7 years of famine coming. And this is a far and wide famine all the way up. Well, we haven't been talking about his wonderful 11 brothers, have we? His wonderful 11 brothers, and they have a famine also in the land of Israel. And their father says, go down to Egypt and buy us some food. And they go down there and they stand in front of Joseph, but they don't know that it's Joseph. The last time they saw him, he was 17. If I did my math right, he's now 37. Maybe 38, maybe 39. And they're before him and he's using a translator. So they have no clue that this is Joseph. He allows them to buy food. And he also tells his servants, put their money back in the top of their sacks. And they go home. And as they stop for the night along the way, one of them is opening up the sack so that they can feed their animals, notices that his money is in the top of the sack that they were intending to use to pay for the grain. And they're like, uh-oh. But they continue on home anyway. And when they run out of this food, their father says, go back. And they said, we can't go back. You see, we found our money in the top of the sacks. They're going to think we stole the food. Besides the fact that, Dad, they started asking a lot of questions about you. Were you still alive? Were you still doing well? And they asked us, since only 10 of us went down there, did we have another brother? And we said, oh, yes, we had another brother. And their father says to them, why did you tell this man our whole family history? And they were like, Dad, he was asking questions and we were answering. And he told us if we didn't bring our youngest brother back with us, we couldn't buy food again. And the dad says, Benjamin's not going with you. He's the only one I have left from my favorite wife. His other brother is dead and gone because the father believes that Joseph is no more. Well, eventually, he allows them to go back and take Benjamin with them. One of their other brothers has been down there in jail the whole time. I mean, wonderful siblings, don't you think? The first time they come, he says, I'll sell you food and you can take it back, but I'm going to keep one of you here in prison until you come back with the youngest one. They come back, they buy food. Joseph still doesn't tell him who he is. He says, put their money back in the top of their sack, and here, take my cup that I drink from all the time and put it in the top of the sack of the youngest one, Benjamin, his true brother. And they let him get a ways out and go catch him. Go get him. Somebody took the cup. Oh, we didn't do that. We didn't. Well, what would you expect from these brothers? But they don't know. And they start searching the sacks. And in Benjamin's sack, they find Joseph's cup. And they all come back. And they're all scared. Because they don't know it's Joseph. They don't know what's going on. They don't know how all this has happened. Listen to these words. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is your father still living? His brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Think about that for a minute. The brother that you sold into slavery, the brother that you thought was no more, is now in charge. I think I'd be a little quiet at this point. What about you? Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been a famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him that this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all that you have, I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become desolate or destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded to me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them, because afterwards his brothers talked with him. What a story. What an incredible story. Here's one of the things that I think we can learn from it. There are times in our lives, there are times in our past when folks have done us wrong. Were things done wrong to Joseph? Again and again and again. Sold into slavery, put into prison for no reason. Has it not happened to us? Things have gone wrong for us, and people have done us wrong. Here's the second fact. Since we live in community, we will still see and interact with these people. The people who have done us wrong, we will still see them, and we will still have to interact with them. Now, in Joseph's case, he didn't see him for a great number of years. 15 years he didn't see them, no. 21 years he didn't see them. But he eventually still had to interact with them. Those folks that have done us wrong, because we live in community, we're still going to see them. And we still have to interact with them. There will be times when we have the upper hand and times when we have the lower position. Didn't Joseph have the upper hand? Oh, they're finally come. What could Joseph have done? Oh, all 10 of you. Off to jail. I'm not selling you food. I'm not doing anything. You treated me wrong, and you're going to get what you gave me. Right? He could have done that. He had the power and the ability to do that, and those 10 brothers would never be seen again. And there's sometimes we're in the lower position, isn't it? We've done the wrong. We haven't done what we were supposed to have done. But there's something about, I'm going to say Americans, that we're just not people that are going to come and say, I'm sorry, I did wrong. We seem to have an inability to do that. You know what? In either place, God calls us to seek reconciliation for the betterment of the community. In either place. Whether we're the one that somebody has treated us wrong, or whether we're the one that treated somebody else's wrong, we're supposed to be about reconciling. Jesus talks about this in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, if somebody's done you wrong, go talk to them. And he also says, if you are in worship and you are praying and you realize that you have done wrong to somebody else, stop right there and don't continue worshiping until you go get it straight with the person. And then come back and worship. Jesus says it works both ways. whether we're the person who's been wronged or the person who's done the wrong, we're supposed to find the other people and make it right. It doesn't matter. It does not matter which person we are. And I want you to understand this fact. These paths of reconciliation may be the very paths that God has for our future provision. The path of reconciliation may be the very path that God has for our promised future. And if we're not willing to reconcile, we may never see the blessing. We may never see the blessing if we're not willing to reconcile. It's up to you. It's not up to the other person. Joseph could have said, under the prison with you and never see the light of day again. And I won't have to deal with you, and I don't care because you did me wrong. But he said, you know what? God had a better plan, is what Joseph said. This happened to me so that I could take care of you. This bad has happened to me, Joseph said, so that I could take care of you. Wow. Can we be those kind of people? Can we be those kind of people? I'm going to leave you with this question. Can you let go? Move forward and accept the avenues God uses to bring provision for your future? Can you let go? Move forward and accept the avenues God uses to bring provision for the future? We're called to. Whether you're the one that's been wronged or you're the one who's done the wrong, we're called to. Can you let go and move forward? Let's pray. Lord, it's not easy trying to be the people that you're asking us to be. The world has taught us to be differently. The world has taught us that I need justice. The world has taught us that every wrong must be righted. And yet Joseph teaches us that this is the path of provision to set things right. To set things right in relationship. To let go of old past. To move forward. And to accept this, Lord, as your provision. Help us to do that. Help us to truly be your people in this community in a way that people might be amazed at what we let go to move forward, in how we're willing to help even when folks have done us wrong. Lord, guide us to take the path you have for us. It'll bring blessing not only to us, not only to your kingdom, but also to those around us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.